Blog Talk Radio.
For tuning in to the next chapter of Widows Ministry Talk Show, a ministry embracing widows and others who have lost a special loved one. I am Mary Hollis, your host, and I'm so glad that you called in because you got a treat tonight. Yes, we have a treat tonight. Tonight we're going to begin a Black History series. The ministry wrote a book back in, you know, that's one thing I was supposed to look up. Let me get that date. That was the only thing I just forgot to get the date that we wrote this book. It was copyright in 2016. Yes, 2016 we wrote this book, A Widow's Touch. So tonight, every Tuesday of this month, we will have two of the co-author to tell their story, abbreviated story, from our book, A Widow's Touch. We have about 26 stories in this book, but we're not going to be able to have every single co-author to speak. But we're going to gather with whoever God wants me to pull from that book. We'll hear those stories. And I'm sure those stories are the ones that God wants me to, for you to do a testimony on, to hear your story and will encourage others through this journey of grief. But first, before we bring the two ladies on, I would like to begin to make an announcement. I want a reminder that you need to RSVP me as soon as possible regarding if you're attending the Valentine's Day party. That is the 18th. That's two Saturdays from now, not in this Saturday, but the following Saturday, the 18th. And it's from 1 to 3 p.m. And it's going to be at my home. I will be hosting the Valentine's celebration. We have lots of things planned for you guys, so just come and you'll be surprised and be embraced with love, with hug and kisses. So please RSVP as soon as possible so I can get a count of how many people that we need to feed and have different things for the event. So please do that. So that's very important. We need numbers. But now what we're going to do is bring these two ladies on. And the two ladies that we're going to, that's going to speak with us tonight and share their abbreviated story from A Widow's Touch, their name is Bernie Scott and Rose Bone. What I would like to do is just tell you a little bit about these two ladies. These two ladies have been with the just about the beginning of our ministry. Our ministry this year is going to be 20 years old. And they have been with us most of that time. They have been the greatest supporter of the ministry. They continue to come to events, trips, and meetings to hold your hand, to help you, to let you know that they have gone through it, they've gotten through it, and they continue to do that. And they have been the greatest two friends, by the way. Two friends that have written two wonderful stories and a widow's touch. And they have been a blessing to our ministry. And I thank them so much for all that they have done and the things that they will be doing in the future for your continual support. Well, I'm going to call on Bernice Scott first. And her story in the book, I mentioned to you are in my text for you guys to pull, if you have a book, pull that book out so you can be able to see their story. Bernice Scott's story is on page 21. And it's called Taking His Clothes Out of the Closet. And Bernice is from Decatur, Georgia. I'm going to bring Bernice on, and she's going to share a moment with you.
Bernice. Good evening. Good evening. My name is Bernice Scott, the wife of the late James M. Scott. We were married 28 years. I lost my friend and beloved husband December the 25th, 2004, the day after my birthday. I am sharing this with you, taking his clothes out of the closet. Every day doing anything that I wanted to do, I decided that I would go into James' closet. I prayed to God to give me strength. Then I touched, smelled, hugged, wrapped, and put on some of his clothes and even stuck my feet in some of his shoes. I would sit, have a conversation, cry, and sometimes go to sleep in that closet. This continued about 4 to 6 weeks until one day I went into the closet. I started to smile and laugh. Then I thank Almighty God for the time he had allowed us to be together, to have a son and a daughter. I could hear God saying, take those clothes out of that closet. The next day, my children, a neighbor, and I did what I was told. We gave some to the neighbors, some to the church clothing ministry, and some to Goodwill. I knew it was the right thing to do. I believed that God and James were pleased. The closet was empty, but many were blessed. P.S. Don't tell anybody. I did keep a jacket and a scarf that I wear for our love. I would like for you to remember Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. And that he did then, and he has continued to do it now. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bernstein. Bernice, with that wonderful story from your book. I love, you know, one thing, the title, Taking His Clothes Out of the Closet. That is one of the many questions that many of the widows have for during the beginning of their loss, wondering when to take those clothes out of the closet. How long do I leave it there? And when I do, do I give it all away? So Bernice, you did exactly what you asked God when to take it out, and he gave you the answer when to do it at that particular time. And you shared it with others. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick little story about my clothes out of the closet. It was 6 months before I took my husband's clothes out of the closet. And the reason why is because we had his closet and I have a her closet. So pretty much I didn't have to open his door to his closet. And I didn't want to. I didn't want to do it. But God had me to wait for a whole 6 months. And that 6 months was the December. I went in that closet, and guess what, Bernice? Guess what was in that closet? It was, my kids were babies. My husband used to love shopping, bulk shopping, and he had toys in the back of the closet. And guess what? I wrapped those gifts up and gave it to the kids for Christmas. I cried half the time doing it, but God told you when to do it, and God told me when to do it. Mm-hmm. And it was a perfect time because it was during Christmas, and it was just before Christmas, and I was able to wrap those toys and gave it to the children. And it meant more to me than it meant to the children, because that was very special. So I just wanted to share that. You did just the right thing. And another thing that in your story that you said too, some of the ladies have told me that they wear their husband's T-shirt or something make them feel better, close to them. You're so lonely and going through so many emotions, and you decide when you put that shirt or whatever you put on, it feels you're very comfort. How did you feel, Bernice?
When I put that jacket and scarf on, that's why I ended it. It's a part of our love and friendship. I feel real close. And if I have a moment, I will put it on. So it brings it gives you comfort.
Yes. So ladies are new widows. If you ever feel lonely and you still have his clothes, get some of the clothes, get something and put it on. That will give you some sort of comforting and encouragement, and you feel his presence. And sometimes some of those clothes still have his cologne on, and you still smell the cologne. So that's ways of healing. Don't think that you're crazy by doing stuff like that. It's okay. Any way that you feel that will bring comfort to you. So Bernice,
the whole process is healing. Yes, the whole process is a part of being healed.
Exactly. And you said that you kept some. You didn't give away everything. And that was important. You wanted to keep something so in case you needed some more comforting.
Yes.
Well,
in 19 years, I still used it.
Yes. I still have some of Al's stuff, but I kept his stuff because I used to give him stuff little by little, so it will encourage him to know that he has something from his dad. So all of those things that you put in this story, taking his clothes out of the closet, all of the decisions, you waited for God to give you an answer. You finally decide to give the clothes away to good use, and you kept some for comforting. For future emotions that you may have had.
Yes.
So that's a wonderful thing. So I wanted to use your story to let others know that they can feel this way too. I know many of you just probably don't even want to go near the drawers, don't want to go near the closet. I didn't go for 6 months. So just know that whatever time that you feel, but the most important thing, do not take those clothes out of the closet 2 weeks after he after the funeral. That's too soon. You know why? Because you're going to rush to take it out, and later on you're going to say, why didn't I keep this? Why didn't I keep that? Mm-hmm. So give yourself time so you know what to give, what that you want to keep. That's very important. So sometimes neighbors and friends will come over and say, I can help you take the clothes out. And right then and then, you think it's okay. But don't rush because you don't know what you probably wanted to keep. And rushing and making that decision will be not the right thing to do at that particular time. So thank you, Bernice, for sharing that your information and your story with us. And I thank you so much for continuing to support the ministry. You stay
thank
on.
Thank you.
Because I have some more things to say later, but now I'm going to bring Rose Bone. And her story is on page 61. And her story, the name of her title of her story, I Was Forced to Take Charge. And she's also from Decatur, Georgia. Rose?
Thanks, Mary. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rose Bone, and I would like to share with you how I felt when my husband passed in 2004. Now, in 2004, when he passed, I was forced to take charge. Now, when I say forced to take charge, I mean during our marriage of 34 years, William was the person who took care of everything. He took care of the house. He took care of the insurance, all the cars, and all the policies. If anything got broke, he would fix it. He would know who to call to go and fix it. He loved doing it, and I let him. I felt comfortable letting him do that. But when he passed, I didn't know what in the world I was going to do. I felt lost. I didn't seem to know where the policies was. I didn't know who to contact. So when I stopped trying to fix things myself, and I surrendered everything to God, that's when I saw God do his work. He put people in my path for a reason. He put people in my path that I could just listen to. He put people in my path that could be a support for me to go with me different places. Now I can share this with others of what has worked for me. Now, it's still a journey. But with the help of God, I'm getting stronger every day of my life. I want to thank you for listening to what has been working for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rose, for that wonderful story. If you guys do not have the book yet, you need to get the book so you can read some of these stories. These stories are very encouraging. Now, Rose had to take charge, was forced to take charge. And many of you probably had to do the same thing because your husband did everything for you. Even if your husband didn't do everything, you all shared the responsibility. There were things that he did. Now you are responsible in doing. So just know that even though that you have to take charge, if you believe in God, have faith in God, God will lead you. Just like Rose indicated, said that there were friends, there were neighbors, there were different people that helped her along. She didn't know how to do those things because her husband did everything. Now, mine did not everything. We shared the responsibility, but all of the things to fix, put the lights in, if a light bulb went out, I didn't have to worry about that. He took care of the yard. He took care of certain things. So we did share the responsibility. But see, Rose had the opportunity and had a nice husband who did it all. And some of us didn't have that opportunity that we shared the responsibility instead of doing it, having to take charge. So if you have to take charge, you know, one thing I want you to do, we have a second book. And that second book is said, oh, Lord, what am I to do? A widow's manual. You need to get that book also because it tells you 8 weeks of suggestion and direction and what you need to do after your special loved one has passed away. And it's called a widow's manual. And it's everything in there. If you have, you're beyond that, you can get this book for someone else whenever they lose their special loved one, because it gives them instruction the first day when it happens. It gives you instruction. So just knowing that, that will help you to be able to take charge. Now, back then, Rose, we didn't have that widow's manual. So Rose had to take charge herself. And I'm sure that God took care of it, helped her take care of different things, and help her to get things together where she was able to continue to live on and be and take care of those responsibilities that she had to take on. So, and let me see what else that I wanted to see on the, and I'm going to ask the question to both you and Bernice in just a second. Let me see what time we have here.
Okay.
Going back to you, Bernice.
Yes.
You tell the audience, What give us I would say 2 minutes of what the next chapter has done for you during this time in your life.
The next chapter not only encouraged me to know that I am somebody that can carry on, and I did do those things. I had two children that I had to, one was both graduating from high school and then college, one in college, and then a wedding. So I got my love from the widows. If I needed something, I could call on them. If I was crying or sad, I could call on them. I learned how to share and be with others, because I was, most of the time, my husband and I did everything together, even in his business. So I also learned how to be an entrepreneur, because I had to sell the business, which Jane was a CPA, so I had to get all the taxes and things in place and the clients. So I got a lot of encouragement from the ladies. They are strong and they made me strong. If you're weak and you're around them, you will get joy and happiness. And I love them and I thank them for all the friendship that they've given me and continuing on. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernice. Thank you so much. Like I say, you have been a blessing to the ministry and you continue to be a blessing to the ministry. You've always supported, you've always given back. And I and we do appreciate that, because you've like I said, been there to so, you've been to so many of our meetings that we've had, and you've been there, and when a new widow came in, y'all just showed love and letting them know that, you know, they'll get through it. You know, it takes one day at a time. So I thank you so much for your support. Now, Rose, what I want you to answer that same question for me.
Okay. All right. You know, it's like I said, when I surrendered, I mean, when my back was against the wall and I had to say, I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. And when he opened up the doors and had people in my life that could help me or guide me through different things, I don't know who it was, but someone brought me to the next chapter. Meeting, and I was supposed to be there, because by me being there, I saw and heard other people had similar situations that I had, and I saw and I heard how they had gotten strength in order to carry on. And you know, when you really but have your back against the wall and you can't go nowhere and nobody can help you, when you have to call out to God and ask for his help, tell me, you can't do it. Well, that's where I was. And when I heard other people's stories and how they had gotten strength, and I saw that God had my back and it gave me strength. And when I stopped trying to fix things myself and just let him just had the whole path set out for me, I felt much better. And I got strength, and I guess people could see how I was maturing in the situation that I was in. And maybe I could help somebody else with this, no more than just lending a listening ear. So, I mean, when I saw other people progressing and getting things done, and I said, God, I know I can do it with your help. And I did it. And I'm still doing it. It's a journey every day, because I'm faced with things that I haven't done before. But I said, okay, God, this is me and you. That's all I can say. It's just me and you. And
great.
That's how things, and that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Having faith in God to get you through this walk in life. Yes, you can get through it. It takes time, and it's not very very difficult, but he will get you through it. Now, Rose, I want you to, we got a couple of minutes. At 1 minute you're going to share. I want you to share the story that you called me, I said, maybe last month. It was last month in January. And something happened where, if you can tell that story in less than a minute, it's at, you went to Marshall's, and you had an experience in Marshall's. If you will tell that story. And the reason why I want her to tell that story, because, you know what I think? God uses you for purpose. And in Marshall, God used Rose for a purpose. And I want her to share that, because you know what I'm saying? Just be open. Just know that if God, if something is saying something to you, do it, because you don't know how much that is God that wants you to connect with that person or whatever he has for you to do. Just knowing that when he's in it, he's going to make it, he's going to let you see his glory. Because you're going to fulfill someone else's heart that need to be encouraged and embraced. Rose?
I was in Marshall's, and I was just walking, shopping and everything. I had gone down the aisle where they have the journals and thank you notes and what have you. And I was looking at a journal and everything, and this young lady had a baby, and she was in a buggy and everything, young lady. And naturally, I just started talking. I said, oh, my, what a cute little girl you have here. We're just talking like that. And I was looking at the journals and stuff. And she kept, you know, she started talking with me. And she said, you know, I don't know. I got a friend that just lost her husband. She said, oh, we aren't very close. But I don't know what to say to her, because she's in so much pain. And I just listened to her and everything. I said, you know what? It's hard to say what to tell a person when they're in so much pain. I said, but I belong to a group, and it's called The Next Chapter. And it's all widows, and they're all ages and everything. And The director has a personality that transcends all ages. And I said, I'm going to give you her number, and you can give her a call, and you can tell her. I'm quite sure she can give you some ideas that she could you could tell her to sort of like soften the pain that she's going through. And we talked for a few minutes and everything. She says, you know, I started to say anything, but for some reason I decided I would just talk to you. I said, well, you know what? It's hard to say what you can tell a person at a certain time. I said, but whatever's in your heart is going to come out. And I said, I'm going to give you her number and call her, and you guys can get together. And maybe you can just tell her, and since she has a counseling degree anyway, she can probably help you with some things that you can say, or maybe just be a good listener for your friend. And so that's what I gave Mary her number, and I got her permission to have her to call and everything. And I think you all got together, but that was really just different, because I never just just stop and just talk and tell somebody about the next chapter. So she was very thankful.
Yeah, that was God in the midst of that. That was in the midst of that. And just to how they all connected and started talking. Well, yes, she did. Mm-hmm. The friend did get in touch with me. And she told me about her friend. But I have not spoken to the young lady who has lost her husband because she's not ready. She's hurting so much that she doesn't want to talk to anyone right now. So right now, mm-hmm. I am just sort of close friend, but she's been back and forth with me, telling me more or less. I have sent some things to her by text to tell her about mm-hmm. the ministry and different things. So we went back and forth talking to each other by text and just sort mm-hmm. of sending uplifting things to her. And I'm not sure if she's on tonight, because she said that she would call in. So I am hoping that she is, listening to the show so she can be encouraged by the stories that we will be listening to. So I have, I have not met her. I have not spoken to her, but I still pray for her. I pray that when she's ready, that God will direct her, that we can talk and she can be a part of the next chapter of Widow's Ministry. But thank you so much for allowing that to happen, because that was God putting the two of you together. So, she gets some sort of encouragement from her friend. And her friend has been, like I said, been keeping up with me. Just because she's hurting too. She's hurting because she sees how much this young lady is hurting also. So, but I'm hoping that one day soon that she will be able to connect with me and be a part of the next chapter of Widow's Ministry. Well, our time is up, and thank you so much, the two of you, for coming on. And I hope that the callers enjoyed your story and in your encouragement. And also, if you do not have the book yet, A Widow's Touch, you can go to Amazon.com and purchase the book. It is $14.99. And one thing I also want to thank all of you for, the last 3 months, I kept asking you to purchase books, because our book sales had went down for the cost on Amazon. But because mm-hmm. you all have purchased a lot of books in the last 3 months, the sale have gone back up to the regular price, which is $14.99. So you have a friend, a neighbor, or whoever that has lost a special loved one, that's the best gift to get for them. And Amazon, you can get it in a day or two. You know how Amazon is always up and down everybody's street, so you can get that in a matter of a day or two. So, and it's only $14.99. And please purchase it, because you'll be encouraged by these stories, and you can get someone else to be encouraged by them as well. But it's like paying it forward, helping others. And that is all we have tonight. I'm going to have two other stories again next Tuesday. So tune in again tonight, the same time, from 10 to 10:30 p.m. Be blessed and have a great week. And thanks again, Bernice and Rose, for supporting us.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mary.
You are more than welcome. All right. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.
I am the creator, I am the maker of the universe, I am the one who spoke into nothing, and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can see. just like